asked you now to breathe on this lesson. I decrease that you, the greater one, might increase. Think through my mind. Speak through my lips as I declare your word. I thank you for the compassion of Jesus that always flows from my heart. So we give you praise in advance for confirming your word in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. If you have a Bible and you want to make your confession of faith along with me, you can hold it up. I want you to repeat it after me. Somebody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you today. Today is your big giving day, and I pray that you are excited about this day, that this day of sacrifice is going to set some things in process, some supernatural things in process in your life. So today is your big giving day, and by now I pray that you have heard from God and that you are going to obey God. Everybody say obey God. It is your obedience to God in your giving that positions you to live an amazing life. And so today I want to share a lesson. I'm really going to give you my personal testimony, and I want to talk to you from the subject from obedience to overflow. From obedience to overflow. And I want to share with you my personal testimony, how I worked the principles of faith and giving that have led me to live a life of overflow. I live a supernatural life. If you really understand how I live, my life doesn't make sense, but it makes faith. And I want to share some things with you tonight because God is no respecter of persons. He's only a respecter of faith. So what he does for one in principle, he will do for the other. And so that's why I want to teach you the word of God as it relates to giving in this area, to really learning how to obey God. I'm really not just teaching you a lesson today about just giving. I'm really teaching you a lesson about trusting God at another level so he can entirely change your life. And that's what I want to talk about. John 10 and 10 teaches us that the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I am come that they may have what class? Life. And that they may have it how? More abundantly. In the Amplified, it says to the full till it overflows. And so we see from Scripture that God wants us to live an abundant life. He wants us to live an amazing life. He wants us to live a life of overflow. And several years ago, I was at a very low point in my life. I love God. I was living for Jesus, but I had questions. I would read scriptures like John 10 and 10 where it says he came that I might have an abundant life, but I really wasn't living an abundant life. I would read scriptures like 3 John and 2 where he said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, but I really wasn't experiencing prosperity. So I had questions, and then I began to learn the word of God, and I began to learn the word of faith, and I began to really learn that the Bible was full of prophecy, promises, and principles. And for every prophecy, for every promise, and for every principle, that there's a faith process to bring it to pass. I begin to learn that the will of God was not automatic, but God needed my permission and my participation for him to usher his will into my life. I learned that I couldn't just sit by the dock of the bay waiting on time to roll away, but I had to take this word, apply it in my life, obey God, and if I did it, I get results in my life. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I learned the principle of giving that radically changed my life. I learned that if I would obey God in my giving, it would produce an amazing life of abundance and overflow. Now, years ago, 1995 to 1999, I was in the United States Marine Corps, and I was getting out in 1999. I got out honorably and those kind of things. I loved the Corps. My plan was to stay in the Marine Corps. My goal was to be the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. Like, I loved it. You got it? Like, I was motivated. I woke up every day, born to fight, trained to kill, ready to die, but never will. Like, I was all in, right? But God had other plans for me, and back then I didn't understand. Of course, I understand now why God wanted me to get out. out. But in 1998, I started working on a job that I ended up landing as soon as I got out of the Marine Corps. It was on base. It was doing some of the exact same things that I was doing. And so I landed a job back in 1999. It was paying, I think, around $25 an hour. How many know back in 1999, $25 an hour was pretty good? That was the start. Because today, $25 an hour ain't bad to start. You understand? So I 6 to 8 weeks of training, and then they said, hey, you're the low guy on the totem pole, and so what we're going to do is put you on third shift. I didn't have a problem with that until I realized that I cannot sleep in the daytime. And so I would work at night, and I would go home, but I could not go to sleep. Next month, I will be 49 years old. I still do not take naps in the daytime. My body's not wired like that. And so, you know, after a couple weeks, as you can imagine, it wasn't good on my body. It wasn't good on me. It wasn't good on my marriage. It just wasn't good on a lot of things. And my wife and I, we got an agreement and decided that I was going to let that job go, trust God, and find another job because, you know, I just couldn't do it. I mean, she would put things over the windows, make the room really dark. I just couldn't sleep in the daytime. And so I went to my boss and I explained to him that I'm going to quit. He thought I was crazy. He thought I was going to lose. He thought I was losing my mind. He says, I tell you what, you are a smart guy. He said, you can really do this job quicker than 8 hours. So if you'll just come and work a little while, then go in the break room and go to sleep. He said, then come back and work a little while, then go in the break room and go to sleep. He said, just be up for when the first shift supervisor comes in so I don't get any trouble. And he's like, do we have a deal? I was like, no. I was like, I'm not going to do that. I told him that I serve a God of integrity and that if I would do things God's way, I would get God results in my life. You got it? Now, how many know he thought I was crazy, right? And so I left that job, and the only job I could find was a job at Ecom on Gum Branch Road in Jacksonville, North Carolina. This is a testimony, not a testifony. This really happened. I was making $6.25 an hour. And it was a very frustrating job because it was right across the street from the high school. So all the kids, and I had to work the afternoon shift because that's the only thing they had available. So I was working with a bunch of teenagers. So you know, I'm a leader of Marines working with these kids that want to giggle the whole time. So it was very frustrating, you know. And some people said, man, why in the world would you take a $6.25 an hour job? Because I understood that some money was better than no money. And if I was faithful in that which was least, that God would bless me with more. And so I'm really, you know, I'm going through some tough times, and I thank God for a man of God, my pastor, who taught on giving. And at that time, he was teaching on giving, and back in the day, my pastor would teach on a series for like 12 weeks, right? And so he's teaching on giving and teaching on the power of the tithe, and he was in Malachi, and he was breaking it down where it says, prove me. And this is the only place in Scripture where the Lord says you can prove him, where you can test him, is in the area of your giving. He says, see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there not be room enough to receive. And I begin to learn that the windows of heaven were not literal windows in heaven where, you know, one of the angels opens it out and dumps out $100 bills and you're just walking down the road talking about, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. But I understood that it was insight. It was opportunities. It was inspired ideas. And so God gave me an inspired idea. We did have some savings, and I took our savings and I went and bought me a bread truck. And I bought this old bread truck. I put a hole in the side of it. I put a window on it. I begin to spray paint the different hubcaps. You know, I was doing something. What are you doing? I had an idea to start me an ice cream truck business. I think they have a picture of the ice cream truck. I'm going to ask them to put that up at this time if they have it. And so I said that I'm going to start me an ice cream. There it is. Yeah. Now that's not me. That's my brother, but it kind of looks like me anyways. And so that's what my ice cream truck was. I left the doors open. I'd wear khakis. I'd put a polo on. You know, I'd have a belt on. I was going to be as professional as I could. And what I learned was that if the word of God works, it's going to have to work on this ice cream truck, that God can prosper me in any area of my life if I use my faith. And so I begin to make confessions on the ice cream truck. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that every time I go into a neighborhood, there are children that are standing in line to buy ice cream from me. I thank you that I have favor with their parents. Their parents are excited to see me come and sell ice cream to their children. And do you know that most guys, the other guys, they would make about $1,200 to $1,500 a week if they worked it every single day. You know, I was working this process, and I lied to you not, I was making between sometimes $4,000 and $5,000 in 1 week selling popsicles, selling Nutty Buddies, because I took the word of faith and I believed God, and God did amazing things in my life. And I continued to work this process. And so as I begin to make more, I begin to give more. You got it? I would do things for, I would always sow into my man and woman of God's life on a consistent basis. My wife and I would be a blessing to others. We were trying to build up our savings. We were just doing everything that we could do. And then when the Bible talks about he'll make all grace abound toward you, it talks about the favor of God. And I kept praying, and the Lord opened some doors for me to walk in, to start some businesses, and I'm going to make a long story short because I want to keep rolling, but I got to the point where my wife and I were making $2.7 million every single year. Now, I don't have a degree. I don't have any formal training, but I took the word of God, and it transformed my life. And so all of this was before I ever started pastoring. You got it? Long, and it's important for you to know that because, you got the enemy out there that always tries to make you think, well, it's just the pastor that gets blessed. And you all, a lot of you all know that's not true because you're blessed, praise the Lord. And so what happens is this was long before I was pastoring. I was sitting, in a row in a pew just like you were, learning the word of God. But I took the principles of faith and I gave on purpose in faith, and I saw God do some amazing things in my life. And the reason I want to share that with you is because I need you to understand that God is no respecter of persons. He is only a respecter of faith. If you'll take this lesson, you got it, and allow it to absorb your heart, and watch this, and by faith begin to apply the principles I'm going to teach you, you will see God do amazing things in your life. So there's several things that I learned that I want to share with you. And the first thing that I learned is I learned that giving is God's plan. Everybody repeat after me. Say, giving is God's plan. Yeah, giving is not a game, all right? Now, we might have seen games played. That's unfortunate. You have never seen any games played in this house, praise the Lord. Thank God for a man and woman of God of integrity that teach you the word of God, that teach it to you the right way. You got it. He might go viral, you got it, but he went viral for telling the truth. You understand? You got it. So thank God for a man of God that's going to be bold enough to not worry about the persecution, but understand that I have been called to shepherd this house. I'm going to teach them truth, because he wants to see overflow and abundance in your life. That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. So I learned that giving was God's plan. Genesis 8 and 22 says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and night and winter and day, summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. And so we see from scripture that there are some constants. There are some consistencies as long as the earth remains. And one of them is seed time and harvest. And so you've just got to understand that that is God's plan. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse. In the Amplified translation, it says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly, and he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. And this has a lot to do with the attitude of the heart. You got it? Because the Bible teaches us that God loves a cheerful giver, right? And let's keep reading. Verse 7, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his own heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. Now, today you gave tithes and offering. You're going to give, for big giving, because a big giving day is a time that you give over and above your normal tithes and offerings. It is a moment of sacrifice that corporately together you do it as a church, so you can see some supernatural things show up in your life. But let me ask you, did anybody get a call last night from Word of Truth saying, make sure that you give today? Didn't happen, did it? Come on, talk back to me. Didn't happen, did it? No, did when you were on your way in, did the usher stop you and say, make sure you come straight today, make sure you come correct? Didn't happen, right? No, didn't happen, right? You know, so what happens is you're a man of God, and those that he allows on the stage to teach you in this area, they teach you the truth of God's word, and then it's up to you to receive it and apply it in your life so you can get results, right? And so he says, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or of the compulsion. You got to catch this. For God loves. God what? He loves. He takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. So the Bible says that God loves, that he, when I'm that type of giver, he takes pleasure in me. He prizes above other things. Like, there's a list of things, but God's got you at the top of the list, and he's unwilling to abandon or do without you. Now watch what verse 8 says, because you heard me say earlier, the Bible's full of prophecy, promises, and principles, right? Well, one thing that you'll see in scripture a lot of times is if you'll see the principle, and then you'll see the promise behind it. I like to call it the if-thens. If you are willing and obedient, then you'll eat the good of the land. If you obey and serve him, then you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. And you see that all through the word of God. Now, verse 8 is the promise. It says, and God is able, and I submit to you, not only is he able, that he's willing to make all grace. What is grace? It is every favor and earthly blessing. So forget, I'm just going to live my life and I'm going to get my reward in heaven. No, God wants you to be blessed here on the earth. You got it. God wants you to have overflow here on the earth. He wants you to be blessed so you can be a blessing, right? So because when we started making all the extra money on the ice cream truck, what we did was we didn't go buy another car. We didn't do anything. We used that to save and we used it to sow. You got it? And so we were blessing people and we were just doing all kind of things. And so because we understood if this principle works, we're going to work this principle. And we understood that the more we gave, you got it, and the more we were a blessing, it put us in position to receive even more back. And so it's says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. Now, this is the will of God for your life, so that you may always, somebody say always. What does always mean? Always, that's right. Under all circumstance, no matter what the circumstance is, all right? It says, and whatever the need be, self-sufficient. It is the will of God for you to be self-sufficient. And you need to catch that by faith, that Father, I thank you that I'm self-sufficient in every area of my life. What is self-sufficient? It is possessing enough to require no aid or support. I don't need no sugar daddy, got it? Because I got Big Daddy, he supplies all my needs. It's possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnish in abundance. Come on, let's try it again. Furnish in for every good work and charitable donation. So it is the will of God for you to be self-sufficient in every area of your life. So it's enough for you, enough for somebody else, and you still got a grip left over. That sounds like overflow, right? That's the will of God for your life. I remember years ago, the guys were getting together, or one of the guys wanted to get some of the guys together for church. I think it was we kind of, back in the day, you know, old school did pastor's anniversaries and that kind of thing. And so they wanted to get him a Rolex watch. And I remember they coming to me. I said, yeah, just let me know what you're going to do and that kind of thing. But when all the guys got together, it seemed that there was some confusion. Some wanted to do it, some didn't want to do it. And I didn't like that. I didn't want to have anything to do with that. And so I was like, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you are bringing me to a place where I don't ever have to get in a group to do anything for my man of God, that if I just want to do something for my man of God, I can just write the check and do it myself, right? And God eventually brought me to that state. As a matter of fact, a few years later, they wanted to, his wife didn't have a Rolex and she had one. And so me and my wife, we just went to the store. It wasn't even anything special going on. We just bought it and just gave it to her just to be a blessing, because God had brought us to a self-sufficient state. So I learned that giving is God's plan. Now, number two, the second thing I learned, that obedience unlocks the door. Everybody say obedience, unlocks the door. Now, look at your neighbor and tell them, obey God. All right, look at your other neighbor, your second choice. I don't know why they're your second choice, and tell them to obey God. All right. See, because you got to understand, obedience unlocks the door, right? God is looking for channels that he can flow through. If he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Right? God is not looking for people that just want to build bigger barns, you understand, and just save for them. But God is not wanting you just to be a giver, but he wants you to live a life of generosity, and there's a difference. Because when I get over to in really living a life of generosity, man, it is from my heart. And so I thank God for a pastor who was bold enough to teach me the principles of giving. Coming up, I learned several things. I learned that if I served, if I sowed, and if I sacrificed, that I would see the supernatural power of God show up in my life. And that's what I did. You couldn't beat me to church. I always got to church at least an hour early. The way I got a key to the church is because one Sunday night, that's back in the day when we had Sunday night services, I was there and my pastor pulled up. He said, well, you always beat us here, so we might as well give you a key so you could open up. I began to open up. When I would go in, on Sundays, we had Monday night prayer. We had Wednesday night Bible study. We had Sunday nights. I was always there unless I had an op to do in the Marine Corps, and I couldn't be there. And so I would go in, and when I would go in, I just wouldn't walk around. I would go and check, make sure the bathrooms looked good. If the entrance had a little bit, of dirt from people walking in, I'd get the vacuum. I'm serving in the house of the Lord. You got it? I would cut the grass at our church. You got it? I tried to get guys to help me. They told me, Mac, it's too hot to go out there and cut all that grass, and those kind of things. And they thought I was crazy. I thought I was my pastor's doflunky, but what they didn't know was I found some principles in the Word of God, and if I was going to work those principles, I would see some amazing things happen in my life. I was working the principles because I believed the Word of God. I believed it was true, just like I knew that it was true that Jesus died for my sins. Just like I knew it was true that he took 39 stripes and by his stripes I was already healed. I also knew that he became poor, that through his poverty I might become rich. And if I would work his plan for my life, I would get results. And I begin to operate in that principle, and God brought me to a place of overflow, a place of overflow. As a matter of fact, we didn't leave, on Sundays, back in the day. I love my pastor, but he was old school. You got it. I told him, we going on vacation. Let's just say we going on a cruise, right? So you got to be gone on a Sunday if you go to a long enough cruise. He said, okay. I said, we won't be there. He said, okay, I'll see you Sunday. He was just old school like that, right? And so I remember, one thing that I like is cars, right? I love cars. I'm not going to keep a car long. You can ask Apostle. I'm not going to keep a car long. You got it. He'll come 1 year, and the next year I may or may not have it. You got it. I'm about year to 18 months, 24 months max. I've always been like that. My sister was telling one of our members, no, he's been like that when he was 15 years old. He bought a car for $300, turned around about 6 months later, sold it for $900, bought another car. By the time I left for the Marine Corps, and I was 17 years old when I left, I already owned 5 cars. So I just, cars is my thing, right? And so I had bought my wife a brand new Navigator, I said, hey, before we go on our vacation, I said, let me run by the church, because we didn't have electronic giving back in that day. And so I went, and my pastor was there, and I gave him our tithes and offering. He came out, and he saw the Navigator, and he's an old country boy from Georgia, and he come out, he said, what you say? Kicked his leg up, he was dancing and shouting all around it, and he was so happy. And on the way we were driving, and on the way I was just so happy that I had a pastor, a man of God, that wanted to see me prosper. He was excited to see me prosper. You got it. Your man and woman of God are so excited to see you prosper. And so I was driving down the road, and it got in my heart, and I told my wife, we ought to buy him a Navigator. And she said, okay. And so I called. I just had bought it the day before, right? And I called. It's Lejeune Lincoln. I don't think it's there anymore, in Jacksonville, North Carolina, Highway 17. The guy's name is Gary. I called him. I said, hey, Gary. I said, do you guys remember testimony, not testimony? phony, right? I said, do you guys have another navigator just like the one I just bought? He thought something was wrong. He thought something had happened to my navigator. I said, no, ma'am. I said, you know, I tell all my business. So I said, I went, you know, to go give my tithes and offering, you know, and my pastor liked this so much, so I want to buy him one. How many know he did not comprehend me wanting to buy my pastor a navigator? He said, well, yes, we do have one. I said, okay, put it aside for me. And when I get back, I'll pick it up. I went in, I paid cash for it, $54,000, and put it up on the screen if you have it, and I presented it to my man of God the next Sunday. That's brand new, no miles on it. And because I love cars, maybe that's the reason my wife and I have given so many cars away. I was talking to Apostle a couple years ago, and my birthday was coming up, and I said, man, I think I'm going to go buy a car just to give it away on my birthday. He's like, who goes and buys something to give away on their birthday? And then he says, James MacGyver. He's like, you are the most generous guy I know. I really think your pastor is the most generous guy. I've never met a man as generous as your pastor. And I think, you know, that's just another reason that we connect. We love God. We love the people of God. We love to be generous. We're very principle driven. Integrity is important to us. And so we kept doing it. And I just bought, you can put it up on the screen. Apostle Evan already told you about it. But I had just bought this was my runaround. That's a pretty nice runaround car, ain't it? But I said, I need me a little runaround car because my good cars, I was putting a lot of miles on them, you know? And so I said, I'm going to get me a little runaround car. I got it ceramic coated. I got the windows tinted. Everything is smooth. Now, it's a Nissan Altima, very nice, but it's got the premium package in it. You got it. It's got all the bells and whistles because I'm that kind of guy. I'm driving down the road, and the Lord says, give it to Eric. He's one of my ushers. He's been with me for years. You got it? And then I immediately called my wife. I said, babe, I said, God told me, you know, to give to, you know, the car to Eric, you know, that I just bought. You got it? And you know what she told me? You better obey God. I was thinking, well, you're not helping very much at this moment. So bottom line is I gave him that car, and I was a blessing because, see, we have to, and I'll be honest with you, I gave it to him. The Spirit of God fell in the house strong that day, and I told him in the church, and I was just honest, I was not planning on giving that car away. I had paid cash for that car. You understand what I'm saying? So I had just paid, I can't even remember, $32,000 or $34,000. I paid cash for it because my wife said, babe, why are you paying cash for that car? And, you know, and I don't really like bills. And she's like, just get a loan on it. You know, just, you know, and I was like, nah, I really want to do it. She's like, okay, you know, whatever you want to do. And so now I realize why I had to pay cash for it, because God wasn't having me purchase it for me. He had Eric in mind long before I ever even went to the Nissan dealership. You've got to understand that God raises us up to be a blessing to somebody else. Does that make sense? So it wasn't ideal because I just spent a bunch of cash on it, and now I'm giving it away, and now I don't have a third car. But anytime God asks you for something, you got it? He asks you for a sacrifice. He's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. Sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. It gets God's attention, and it causes him to move in our lives. And we have to understand that you know, I've got to learn to trust God and to obey God in this area. And if I will just give God my heart in this area and trust God at the next level, he will absolutely change your life. Now, real quick, I'm going to give this story to you, and then I'm going to tell you a few things. So, I've given a lot of seeds throughout the year. You got to give. I'm a giver, and that's just what I did. Your man of God, this Friday was a special night for him, and of course, I was going to just sow a seed when I saw him anyways, and so I sowed a seed of $5,000 into his life, because I believe that there is a great grace that is on his life, and when you sow into his life, what gets on him gets on you. Does that make sense? Just because he's my best friend, you got it. Like I told you, he's my best friend, but there's still an honor that I have for him as a man of God. But like just because I'm his best friend, that don't mean that he's got to let me come preach at his church. Come on, talk back to me. Isn't that right? Yeah, he doesn't. No, no. They think just like, you know, I'm just privileged because I'm his best. No, no. And so I take this seriously. You understand? I remember this seed. We were having a big giving day. And I want to, you know, because I don't know what God has talked to you about. And maybe God has talked to some of you today and he's really stretching you. Maybe he's stretching you to give a seed that you have never given before. And remember, giving is not a game. It is God's plan to prosper your life. You got it? You know, it's not equal giving, but it's equal sacrifice, because for one person, $1,000 is a sacrifice, while somebody else, $10,000 is a sacrifice, while somebody else, $20,000 is a sacrifice. So it's not about numbers and comparison, but it is about what has God spoken to my heart to do. And at the end of the day, it's got to be between you and God, that whatever he puts in your heart, even if it seems like, man, I've never done this before, God is just trying to stretch you, because when God stretches you, you never go back to where you were before. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so I remember we had a big giving day at my church years ago, and like long before I was a pastor. And so what happened was, my wife and I had committed, I think it was to give $20,000. I'm pretty sure it was. And so we had a conference. I think it was like Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night, and that kind of thing. And so I gave the $20,000 on that Wednesday night. And we were very happy with our seed. We were in faith. And just before that, I had bought me a brand new Honda Goldwing motorcycle. Now, I know that's kind of what most people consider an old man's bike. You understand what I'm saying? But I was never big on, you know, I'm like Pastor Evan, Apostle Evan would tell you from years ago, I'm an old soul. You understand? I didn't really want to get on them little crotch rockets and be like that. Man, I wanted to sit back and ride. You understand? You know, I chromed it out and all those kind of things, and I had just bought it. I just paid cash for it. And so what happened was, my brother-in-law, Ed, he wanted to get a bike too, but he didn't want a brand new one. I found him a candy apple red motorcycle just like mine. I can't remember. I paid around $20, $22,000 for mine. His was 2 or 3 years old for $9,000. It was in mint condition. I hooked it up. The guy was supposed to come to church that next night, that Thursday night before service started. And so Ed and I are there. He already went to Navy Federal. He was an officer in the Marine Corps. He already went to Navy Fed. He already had his $9,000 check. He, as long as the bike was good, he drove it, he was going to give it to him. And so what happens is, we get there early. We already get to church an hour early, right? So we had the guy meet us there 2 hours early, so that way it wouldn't throw our pattern off. So what happens is, we're going and we're there, and the guy's not showing up. I'm calling, the guy doesn't answer, you know, and those kind of things. I'm like, what's going on? But we got plenty of time. And so the hour goes by, now we're an hour before service. So we go in, we're checking, and to this day, that man never returned our call. We are in service. My pastor gets up, says, hey, the budget is almost met, right? The budget is almost met, but we need so many thousands of dollars, but we believe it's met in Jesus' name, right? And so I'm sitting there on the front row, and all of a sudden the Lord tells me, he says, go, and Ed was an usher, so he was in the back, and I was an armor bearer and a minister, so I was closer to the front. And so he says, go back and tell Ed, if he will give you that check, his $9,000 check, tell him that you will give him your motorcycle, the one that I just paid $22,000 for. You got it? You know, and he said, and if he says yes, take the check and go lay it on the altar and meet the budget, right? You got, and you already know, me being the kind of guy I am, the first thing that came out of my mouth is, the devil is a lie. I just gave $20,000. You understand what I'm saying? You know? And so Ed said, huh? I said, Ed, the Lord told me to tell you, and I told him. He said, huh? And I'm like, okay, this is working out, because I'm about to go back to my seat, you got it, and tell the Lord I tried. You understand? And so I said, Ed, and I'm almost a little frustrated. He said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So he gives me the check. I go, I lay it on the altar. I go sit back down. You know, the choir came up with the next selection. Then my pastor got, I think we had a visiting pastor got up. Man, I don't know what they sang. I don't know what they preached. It took Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and Casper, the friendly ghost, just to help me get through that service. You got it. And so remember, anytime you sacrifice, it sets in motion the supernatural. God was not trying to get anything from me. At the most, what God really wanted was my heart, that I will do anything if he asked me to. right? And so I did that, and fast forward to, that was Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Fast forward to Saturday, my accountant calls me, and she says, James, I want to talk to you about your taxes. And I got to the point where I was making so much money that I had to pay taxes, not quarterly, but monthly, right? And so I was like, Gloria, I don't want to hear anything about any taxes. I had already sent her the tax money the week before, and I said, you know, Gloria, look, we were just in church, and I gave $20,000. I tell you, I tell all my story, and then she didn't understand. Well, she knew, because she knew how I gave, and she's like, no, James, I'm telling you. She's like, you put too much money in the tax account. I said, I did not put too much money in the tax account. Because I only want to give the IRS what I need to give them, right? And she's like, all I know is, and she told me there was several thousand dollars left, you know, in that tax account. And I said, are you sure? She said, I'm sure. I said, okay, because once I take it, you can't get it back. The IRS can't get it back. Can't nobody get it back. Right. And so I did that. And then on Sunday, I went to church. Somebody says, hey, I want to show you something. They walked around the back and there was a black Honda Gold Wing, just like the yellow one I had given away. And I was about to praise God and get all excited with them because they got them, you know, a new Honda Gold Wing. God raised them up to sow it back into my life. So God wasn't trying to get anything from me. God wanted my heart because he wanted to use me in an amazing way. So sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. I'm gonna just read through these things because I want to just finish this up. Giving becomes difficult if I don't realize it's God's plan. See, it's difficult to give when my plan to have is valued above my confidence in God's plan. So I have to have confidence that God's plan is going to work better than my plan. That seed, it leaves my hand, but not my life. It goes into my future, prepares my harvest, waits for my arrival. It's difficult to give when I feel my needs and desires will be jeopardized if I obey. But I can never see giving as losing, but rather gaining. That he's not the God of addition, but he's the God of multiplication. It's difficult to give when it looks like God is better to others than he is to me. You got to learn that if God is blessing your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And then the last one, it's difficult to give when I allow others to dump their doubt and unbelief. I wouldn't go down to Word of Truth. I wouldn't talk about apostle this and apostle that. That man just wants your money. No, your pastor, your man of God has been a giver long before he ever started this ministry. He's been a giver, a generous guy, a man of integrity, and it was the life that he lived that God used to position him where he is right now. My last and final point is faith produces the overflow. Faith produces the overflow. I learned that I had to trust God as my source because his hands were bigger than mine. Everybody say his hands were bigger than mine. I'm closing. I want to tell you a story, and then we're going to receive our big giving on today. And so there was a little boy. I might have told this story years ago. I don't know if Apostle Evan has ever told this story, but even if you heard it before, I just need you to act like you never heard it before. Can y'all do that? And so repeat after me, his hands are bigger than mine. Yeah, and so what happened was I heard this story about a little boy who went to the store, a little corner market with his mom, and she was just going to get a little groceries. Back in the day when I was a little boy at the corner store, it was everything. It was the grocery store. You just got everything at one spot, right? And so the little boy is with his mom, and she's trying to hurry up because she's got to go pick up the little girl from the school bus, and they get in line at the very end, and the little boy is looking at this big jar of candy, and the owner of the store, because he was the owner, the cashier and everything, I guess he realized that mama's probably not going to let him get any candy because she's just trying to make sure she's got enough for this food. So he says to the little boy, he says, go ahead and get you some. And the little boy is just looking at it. And then a couple seconds later, the mama said, come on, grab it. We got to go. And he just kept looking at it. She gets her bags, walking away, and the boy is still looking at the candy jar. In frustration, the owner goes and puts his hands in the candy jar. And he gives the boy the candy. Now the boy is walking out and he's smiling. And the mama's a little frustrated. She said, why in the world would you make me look like that? He says, you know, the man told you it was okay. I told you it was okay. Why in the world would you not just grab the candy? And he's walking up and he looks up to his mama and says, mama, his hands were bigger than mine. And you got to learn how to start living out of God's hands because God's hands are bigger than yours. And so I want to challenge you in your giving. I know that they have special envelopes for giving today for your big giving day. And I'm going to ask them at this time if they will come and pass those out. I believe there's an electronic way that you can give as well. But what I'm asking you today is to obey God in the area that He has instructed you to do. Maybe today you're before you even got here, you knew God had put something in your heart. It was a seed that you've never sown before. But I'm here to tell you that giving is certainly not a game. It is God's plan to prosper your life. And I believe that God is trying to stretch you, because once you get stretched, you are never going to go back to where you were. I don't really want to get caught up in talking about different numbers, because like I said, it's not equal giving, but it's equal sacrifice. So what's a sacrifice to one person is totally different than a sacrifice to somebody else. That night when we gave that $20,000, somebody in the room gave $3,000, and that was their best gift. That was a sacrifice to them. And so I want to challenge you to obey God in your giving. If you're going to use an offering envelope, make sure once you insert your cash or your check that you seal it, you hold on to it. At the end of service, when you walk out, drop it into the receptacles. And then there's electronic ways to give, and so make sure that you give that way, if you design as well. And we're going to believe God that He is going to do some supernatural things in your life as a result of your gift. Are you ready to see God do some supernatural things in your life? Amen. Amen. And so I want to pray, and then I want us to make a confession together over this seed that we are about to sow. And then at that time, you're going to sow it, and then I'm going to take my seat. Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus for those that are participating in this big giving day. And I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God, that would try to attack their minds or even their emotions or even try to get them in fear of this moment. Satan, the Lord rebuke you at the authority of the name of Jesus. And I declare in the name of Jesus that every person's heart is open, Father, to obey You in their giving. And I thank You today that as they sacrifice, that they are setting in motion the supernatural power of God in their lives. You know every person in this room name by name and situation by situation. And so it's with great confidence I know that You'll meet them at the point of their need. And so, Father, I thank You that as a result of their sacrifice, that You're going to do some amazing things in their life in Jesus' name. I want everybody just to repeat it and they say, Father, today I commit to trust You with my whole heart. Today I commit to sacrifice so I can see the supernatural in my life. As I give today, I don't give reluctantly. I don't give out of compulsion. There is no fear, only faith. Faith to trust You, faith to believe You at another level. So I thank You, Father, in advance for what You are about to do in my life, in my family's life. I declare in the name of Jesus that as of today, I will be able to look back and remember this seed that changed my life. I thank You for it. I give You praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand of praise all over the building.